Good morning and welcome to worship here at St. Mark's on the sixth Sunday after Trinity. If any of you have watched Sesame Street, since the mid-70s, you'll know that there was this one routine where they had four people doing something. Three of them would be doing one thing and one would be doing the other. And the song asked you, which one of these is not like the other? And you're supposed to guess which one is not like the other. And pretty soon, the ones who are alike turn to gray, so you can see the one that's doing his own thing. As Christians, we live lives that are doing our own thing compared to what the world does. The focus of our lessons and of the message from God's Word this morning bases that on the fact that Christians are different from the world. That's something we can rejoice in this morning. We begin by singing the opening hymn.
Thank you.
as we follow the order of the common service as found on page 3 of your worship bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for counting our faith in you as if it were righteousness. Move us by our love for you to treat our fellow Christians with the same love that you have shown to us. For you reign with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our first lesson comes from the book of Ruth, the first chapter, the first 17 verses. Ruth was different. She was different because she was from Moab and not from Israel. But her husband was from Israel. But what would Ruth do when her Israelite husband died? It would make sense to go back to Moab, to go back to the things you know, to the place that you consider to be home. But that's not Ruth's reaction. She believes in the promise of a Savior. She knows the God of Israel to be the one true God. And so she goes back to the land of Israel. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought that there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." This is the word of the Lord. Psalm of the day is Psalm 19. Please notice that the soloist will sing all of the verses, including the "Glory be to God," and the congregation will sing the refrains.
Thank you.
Our second lesson is from Paul's letter to the Roman congregation, chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. Here we find out exactly what it is that makes us different. It's not a choice on our part to be different than the world around us. No, it's something that comes from within, that came from without. It's God working in us through our baptism, which connects us to Christ. These words will serve as our sermon text this morning. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Our Gospel is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 20 through 26. Again, Christians are different than the world around them. The love of Christ makes them so. They treat people better than those people treat them. And yet, just in case we become conceited as Christians and say we're different, therefore we're better, Christ reminds us exactly how high God's standards are, and that he was the only one who earned salvation and gave it to us as a free gift. For I tell you,
that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there, in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still on the way with him, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the gospel of the Lord. Join together in confessing our common faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Anybody notice what's different up here this morning? Maybe from where you're sitting, I took a seat in the back, and I don't know if I could see it very clearly, but I sure noticed it standing up front. The baptismal font usually sits right there, smack dab in the middle. Today, it's sitting over in the little area that was carved out specifically for that purpose when the church was built in 1982. So it's over there instead of right in the middle. Why is it in the middle all the time? Why do we put that in the way? It's been moved because the VBS kids are singing in the second service, and they need all the space they can get up there to get all their bodies up there. So that's why we moved it today, but why are we going to move it back to the middle? Why don't we just leave it in the place that was designed for it? Paul gives us the answer to that question today when he shows us the central importance of our baptisms. He's going to tell us that baptism intertwines us to Christ. I couldn't think of a better word than intertwine. The words that's used there is one that's it's hard to capture in the English language. I suppose you could use intertwine and think of two plants growing together, to think of maybe a pear tree that has a grafted branch and they grow together where they're now inseparable. You can think of a weld. You can think of being sewn together, being woven together. Our baptism interweaves us and intertwines us with Christ. I think we have the tendency to look at the events of Holy Week, of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and we remember them as historical dates that happened approximately 2,000 years ago, way back then. And if you can still remember your baptism date or around about the day that you were baptized, you also have a tendency to think of that as a historical date, something that happened way back then. And we know that both of them are very important for us. We know that Jesus died for us, and that's a good thing. And we were baptized, and that makes us part of his family, and that's a good thing. But I think often we have the tendency to think that it only has relevance on one day. The day in the future where we die or the end comes, the last day arrives. Then it's important. Then Jesus died for me. Then I was baptized. So I'm covered with Christ's righteousness. And when we do that, and we all have the tendency to do that, we leave this great swath of our life open for Satan to play in. For Satan to play in and say, "You know what, that was a historical event, it doesn't matter now. Don't you worry about it. Forget about your baptism today. Forget about Jesus dying for you today. Forget about it. Everything's covered. Go on. You can sin. Don't worry about it." That's the problem that Paul was having with the Roman congregation. He had just said that God's grace had increased to cover the sins of mankind, and he knew immediately there would be a sick response to that. That, well, if all my sins are covered, well, that's like having a credit card for sin. I'm going to charge up all I can. Paul is writing to fight against that notion, to show the Roman Christians and us today how important our baptism is. Baptism is a time machine. Our baptism takes us and connects us right back to those days in history that were so important. You remember on Good Friday? Jesus Christ was crucified. Our baptism connects us with his crucifixion. Paul writes in verse 6, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." If you remember back to Lent, all the explanations of what a horrible process crucifixion was, that the Romans had reserved crucifixion specifically for the absolute worst criminals, because they figured by crucifying someone publicly, people would be scared to ever commit that crime because the crucifixion was so horrible, so long, so drawn out, so painful so nerve-wracking, so suffocating. It was a horrible death. And we know on that day, Jesus experienced that. And we know that he didn't deserve to be there because on the list of the world's worst criminals, his name is nowhere to be found. In fact, he was on a very short list of the world's most perfect people. He was the perfect Son of God. And yet on that day, he took on the sin of every single human being, brought it on himself, and in doing so, in connecting himself with our sin, he became deserving not only of a horrible death for the worst of criminals, but he also became deserving of hell, to be separated from his heavenly Father, to pay the eternal price that our sins deserve. Our baptism has connected us to that crucifixion. Our old self has been crucified with Christ. That part of you that is nasty and not regenerate, who doesn't mind continuing in a life of sin because it's fun, because it's easy, that person has been crucified. But much like a death row inmate that kicks and screams and tries to get out of the hold of the guards that are taking him to his execution, your old self doesn't like to be reminded that he's been crucified. If you don't think that's true, then just remember last week. Remember something that you did that maybe right before you did it or right after you did it, you thought to yourself, that wasn't good. I said something really mean that I shouldn't have said. I hated someone in my heart and wished them nothing but evil. I shouldn't have taken what was not mine. I should have kept my car under the speed limit, driven more cautiously. And the minute that you remind your old self that, they say, no, don't worry about that. No, you don't want to do this whole obeying God's law thing. You don't want to follow in the way that God has set up for you. That's not good. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. And he begins to kick and scream and squirm. And we get exhausted from the battle. Moms, you know how exhausting it is to have one, two, three, or more kids in a store when they're throwing fits, trying to get them out that front door. By the time you get home from the store, you're worn out. You're tuckered out, you're tired. Every day we fight our old self, and he tuckers us out. That's why it's important to remember every single day of your life that you have been intertwined to Christ. So that you can take your old self when he begins to throw his usual fits and say, no, you, sir, have been crucified. You are done. And you have no more business here. Because we know that following crucifixion, there was always one thing that happened. Death. Not only has our old self been crucified, but now we are dead. To explain what I mean, I'll let Paul explain what he means. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Skipping ahead to verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Our baptism connects us to the evening of Good Friday when Christ's dead, lifeless body was placed in a tomb where it was sealed. It was dead. It was unmoving. There are two pictures here that are beautifully interwoven in the Greek. First of all, you have the fact that because anyone has died, been freed from sin. Let me ask a question of you. Do dead people sin? No. Dead people can't sin. Dead people don't move. Dead people don't think. You're dead. There's nothing that you're doing, so you obviously can't be sinning. We are now dead to sin. We are no longer in sin. We are no longer controlled by sin because of our baptism. But the second picture is one that if you look at that verse and you say, the one who has died has been freed from sin, and you make that Jesus, let me ask you another question. How much do Jesus and sin have in common right now? They have nothing in common. You have Jesus, who is perfect and holy and living forever, and you have sin. And the two have nothing to do with each other. On Good Friday, he took our sin, but now that he's died, he no longer sins. You no longer sin. Think of that wonderful truth. You no longer sin because you have been connected to Christ and his righteousness, his perfection, through your baptism. When you want to remind your old Adam of the fact that he's dead, tell him that every single day. You're dead. I am dead to you. There is nothing that you can do that causes me fear or harm. You don't control me. Fear and control go hand in hand. Probably about 6 months ago, there was a mountain lion that was stalking our neighborhood, eating the neighborhood cats and dogs. That changes the way you do things when you know that there's a predator out there who can get you. You don't walk alone anymore. You take someone with you. You're always on the lookout, looking up in trees, looking in bushes. You're very cautious, and you feel limited and controlled in what you can do outside. You bring your dog in at night instead of leaving them out and run. When that mountain lion turned up dead on the interstate because it got hit by a car, there was relief in the neighborhood. It was dead. It could harm us no longer. Your old sinful self is dead. It can harm you no longer. All the damage that it has done has been repaired by Christ Jesus. I'm going to read through the entire text now. Because I tried to pick out of this text the sections that fit with my parts and found it completely impossible to do. You notice I jumped from verse 3 to verse 6. Well, I didn't want to get into the rest of it because Paul has interwoven life and death so much together that you can't separate them in this text. Wherever he talks about the fact that you are dead to sin, he talks about the fact that you are alive to Christ. Listen to how closely they're related as I read through the text again. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united like him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. None of us would want to be sealed up in a tomb that is dark and cold and musty and smelling of death. We feel the same way when we live comfortably in sin. We feel like we are in a tomb. We feel the consequences of our sin coming home to us. That's when it's good to remember that you live. Your sinful life is dead, and you live again. That tomb has been broken up. Fresh air is pouring into your life. It's the fresh air of Christ's perfection. He now lives in you. And the Holy Spirit now enables you to do all those things that make you different from anyone else. And enables you to do them without boasting or bragging, because you know that it had nothing to do with you. Jesus brought you to life. And now you live and walk around in a newness of life. And now we wake up and we look at things not with our earthly perspective, but instead with God's perspective. So important to remember your baptism every single morning that you get up. Yes, it was a one-time event. Yes, historically Christ did die once and needs not die again. But every morning the first thing you do is stand up out of bed. As you stand up, remember the new man who is now standing up in you, who lives and breathes just as you live and breathe. When you get into the shower in the morning or wash your hands or face, remember the power of the water with the word. That water that, yes, one time cleansed you from your sin, but now gives you the power to live a new and holy life. Remind yourself that the temptation to do wrong does not need to affect you. That you are dead to sin, that your old man has been crucified, and that now you live to Christ. Next week when you come back to church, the font will be back here. It helps us to remember as we approach the Lord's Supper to take his body and blood that we can only do so because we're covered with his perfection. We can only sit in this church because we are perfect and holy through our baptism. May that also be true of our lives. May we move the baptismal font directly into the center of our lives to daily remind ourselves that we are intertwined with Christ. Amen. Please stand. We join together in singing the Create in Me. Seated as we bring our offerings to God.
Please stand as we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your creation. When temperatures rise, when storms strike, when the earth trembles, remind your children that you are still in control of your creation, blemished though it may be on account of our sin. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us and then rising again. You have given us new life through your sacrifice. We, the church, your bride, are so blessed to have a husband like you. Nurture and care for us, guide and defend us. Come back to us soon to take us home to be with you forever. Holy Spirit, thank you for the gift of baptism. Be with all those who are being born again through the water and the word all across the world today. Give the word power to create faith in dead hearts and bring about a change in the direction of the lives of your people. Triune God, comfort Tim Breitkreutz and his family as they mourn the death of his grandfather. Remind them of the promise that you made to his grandfather when he was baptized, that your perfection would cover him and that he would be an heir of eternal life. Be by the side of the Stenmark family as Eunice recovers from surgery and Gary recovers from a car accident. Heal Don Bancroft as he recuperates from surgery. Give strength and endurance to those who fight cancer, Neil Honeycutt, Tony Roth, and Greg Ewing's mother, Norma Gesso. Restore movement to Matthew Palm and give him and his family patience and trust in you. We ask all these things according to your will and join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you.
morning and welcome. If you're a first-time visitor with us this morning, please come back and join us anytime. It's a pleasure to have you. First of all, a lot of things happened at St. Mark's this week. A big thank you to those who helped with VBS. I was in charge of it this year, and so I know it would have gone miserably if I had been the only person working on it. Luckily for me, there were very many talented, dedicated people who were here every day using their time, talents, and energies to serve their Lord to His glory with Vacation Bible School. All the things that were done, I can't even list them all right now. But if you'd like to see some of the things and see the students who were there, right behind this center wall in our lobby are all the pictures of the kids with Ahoy Matey. You can't miss it. That was a sailing theme, by the way, just in case you missed that. And also on the television set, I think there will be playing a looped video that shows some of the scenes from this week, some pictures that will run through. Also, thank you to Pastor Donald Stray, who led the organ workshop yesterday for our organist and the organist of Northern California. And thank you to him again this morning for serving the Lord with his talents, and also his wife for singing. His wife, Emily. Sorry, I didn't mean to drop your name there. We have a couple of more announcements, too. There's no teen campout. I know you just got a flyer that said there is. But due to, first of all, lack of participation because of bad scheduling on my part, the Tree of Life camp is next week. And it's a good thing there are a lot of our teens going there. But they thought maybe 10 days of camping was a little extravagant. So they decided to go to the Tree of Life camp instead of the teen campout. And I'm okay with that. Plus the fact that it's going to be really, really, really hot up there this week. And instead we're going to have a pool party on Saturday at Ed and Trista Webb's. I'll send out a new flyer this week to let you know about that. It's going to start at 2 in the afternoon, pool party at Ed and Trista Webb's. I'll give you directions and everything. Also, there is going to be an opportunity to help. If you can volunteer to help us with our pictorial directory, ours is 3 years old. And as I look at the kids in our congregation, you guys have grown up. The adults don't grow and change so much, but the kids, they grow, change, and there's new ones. So we thought it'd be time to do a new directory. If you can help in any way with that, please let me know. We need a lot of volunteers for that project, and I'll write your name down. And there's another opportunity to volunteer, but I don't want to tell you about it. Instead, Brett Peterson will tell you all about it.